This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to be a strong person.
Those of you who remember back to the rhythm and blues days, you may remember a song. And I wish I had the recording. I would have played it for you. But it goes like, "Only the strong survive." Remember that song? Anybody can sing it? Come on up. Come on. Amen. "Only the strong survive." Uh-huh. Yeah, amen. That was it. But you see, that's what our culture says, isn't it? If you're going to make it in life, you've got to be strong. And in fact, we've seen that over the past several weeks. We've seen young people who were not strong. And because they were not strong, they suffered a lot of abuse. And they finally got to the place where the only way that they felt like they could handle the stress and abuse that they were placed under was to take a gun. You see, they weren't strong in themselves, so they thought they needed to strengthen themselves with a weapon. Understand this. We live in a culture that says nice guys finish last. If you are not a strong person, people will step on you, they will stomp on you, they will take advantage of you, they will disregard you, they will pick on you. If they think you are weak, when people think you are weak, and young people, you need to hear this. When people think you are weak, it does not make them want to help you in our world today. It does not make them say, "Oh, here is a person that is weaker than I am. Let me make some allowances for them." It doesn't work that way. When people think you are weak, that's when they will pick on you. They don't feel sorry for you. They want to take advantage of you. That's the kind of world we live in. You need to be strong if you're going to make it in this world. How many of you have ever been picked on in your life? Amen. Was it a happy experience? Uh-uh. How many of you have ever been disregarded? You came into the room and nobody paid you any attention. Amen. Was that a happy experience? Uh-uh. You see, if that's what's going on an ongoing basis in your life, you will not be walking in happiness. So in order for you to be a happy person, you are going to have to be strong. Here's the reason. People only care about people who matter. I'm talking about the world now. People only care about people who matter. And if they do not perceive you as a strong person, to them you don't matter. And they will not care. Let's look at what Jesus had to say on the subject. Go over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now wait a minute, you're saying, look, you're talking about being strong, and here is Jesus talking about blessed are the meek. When we hear that word meek, what do we usually think about? Weak. Isn't that right? We hear that word meek, and it comes across to us as weak, and we hear Jesus saying, "Blessed are the meek," and somewhere deep inside we're saying, "I don't think I really want to be that meek. I want to be strong, because only the strong survive." Let me give you the dictionary definition of that word meek. Patient and mild. Not inclined to show anger or resentment. Catch this. Tamely submissive. Easily imposed upon. Too submissive. Spineless. Spiritless. Anybody want to volunteer to be meek like that today? See, the world's concept of meekness is spineless. Spiritless, can't Take care of yourself. Stepped on by anybody that wants to step on you. Is that what Jesus is talking about? I don't think so. I don't think so. When Jesus said, blessed are the meek, he said the reason they're blessed is they're going to inherit the earth. You know what that means? They're going to take over. It's going to belong to them. They're going to be the ones who are in control in this earth. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like that weak and spineless person we've been talking about, does it? Let's find out what this word really means. Look at the Greek term for a moment. That word in the Greek that's used in Matthew 5:5 is praus, and it means mild, humble, and gentle, meek. Now, it still hasn't helped us a whole lot. That still sounds a little weak, doesn't it? Well, maybe it'll help us if we take a look at the meekest man in the world, the Bible says. Go over to Numbers chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Let's take a look at a man who was meek and see how his meekness operated in his life. And maybe that'll give us a better understanding of what this biblical meaning of meek is. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble, and that word means meek. It's the same word that's translated meek. More than all the men who were on the face of the earth. So Moses was the meekest man on earth, the Bible says. Now, does that tell us that Moses must have been a spineless, spiritless, nincompoop of a man? Go over to Exodus chapter 32. Let's just look at some of the things that Moses did in his life and see whether it talks about weakness or strength. Exodus chapter 32, starting with verse 19. Moses had gone up on the mountain where the Lord was going to give him the Ten Commandments. And he'd been up there many days. And while he was up there, he left his brother Aaron in charge of the camp and of the people. And when Moses came down the mountain, he found out that the people were running out of control. They had put together a golden calf, and they were bowing down to worship this calf because they were saying, hey, Moses is gone. We haven't seen him for over a month. We don't know where he is. We better make up our own God. And so Moses comes down the mountain carrying the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And look at what happens. Starting in verse 19 of Exodus 32. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Now, wait a minute. Catch this scene now. Here these people have taken all of their gold, melted it down, formed this calf to worship, said, this is our God. Moses, by himself, comes down the mountain, throws down the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and says, you have done an abominable thing. Here's what I'm going to do. First of all, guys, I want you to go get that thing. Take it, melt it down, grind it down. Take the ashes of it, take the dust of it, spread it out on the water. Now, the rest of you who have been worshiping this thing, get down and drink it. This is the meek Moses. This is meekness operating. Now, not only that, look at what he did next. Exodus chapter 32, starting with verse 25. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother. every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Do you see what happened? Here is the meekest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. But he was a man who had such force, such respect, that when he came down alone from the mountain, saw what the people were doing, knew it was an abomination in the sight of God, he said, "Who will come and fight for the Lord? Who will come and fight with me?" And the whole tribe of Levi came. And he said, "Here's the program, guys. What we're going to do is put on our sword, and we're going to go out and start killing. We are going to punish the people for what they've done." And this meek man had such respect that these children of Israel said, "We're with you, Moses. Whatever you say, that's what we're going to do." Was Moses weak? Was he spineless? Was he spiritless? I don't think so. We're looking at a man here who knew who he was, knew what he was called to do, and knew that even to the extreme of killing 3,000 of the brothers and sisters of the children of Israel, he knew that he was standing for God, and he did not hesitate. Moses was meek, but he was not weak. Go over to Numbers 12. Let me show you why Moses could be the meekest man on the earth. Look at verse 8. Moses is the leader. Moses is telling the people what to do. And his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam look at him and say, "No, Moses, who do you think you are? I mean, can God speak to us just like he speaks to you? We can hear from God just like you hear from God." And it said, the Lord heard it. Verse 8, here's God testifying after Miriam and Aaron had said what they said. God testifying about Moses. "I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" See what's going on? How did Moses get to be such a strong man? He knew God was on his side. He knew he was speaking to God face to face. He knew that God was revealing to him what God was going to do. God had his hand on his life. He knew that as God's man, whatever he did, God was backing him up. That's how Moses could be strong. Even though he was the meekest man on the face of the earth, God was defending his man Moses. Look at verse 9. "So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper." Oh, man. See what's going on? Moses' brother and sister spoke against him, tried to put him down. Did Moses defend himself? He didn't have to. Who defended him? God stood up for Moses. The moment they said that, it said God heard them. God was offended, and God acted. And just in that moment, Miriam was turned white with leprosy. Why? Because God stood behind Moses. Understand this. If you are meek with a godly meekness, God is standing behind you. You see, you don't have to worry about what somebody's going to do to you when you got God standing behind you. Amen? You don't have to worry about who's going to pick on you when you got God standing behind you. You don't have to worry about who's going to take advantage of you when you've got the one who sees from the beginning to the end, who sees what is hidden and makes it plain, who can reveal what's in the deepest depths of somebody's heart. You don't have to worry that somebody's going to take advantage of you when you got God behind you. You see, you can afford to be meek because you know you've got strength. That was Moses. Moses didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to say a word to Miriam and Aaron because he knew God was going to take care of the situation. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Here's the reality for somebody who is God's man, God's woman, standing and walking in the meekness of Christ. God said to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." You know what the word is telling us today? You do not have to look out for number one. Amen? How many of you have heard that phrase? You got to look out for number one. Now, here's the next question. How many have acted on that phrase? I got to look out for number one. Oh, come on, let me see some hands. Oh, amen. Uh-huh. Now, I kind of consider that maybe the rest of you, we'll go back to that lesson online just a little bit here. Amen. Uh-huh. Look out for number one. Isn't that what the world tells us we got to do? If you don't look out for number one, who will? Well, if you are a believer who knows who your God is, you have an answer for that question. If I'm not trying to look out for number one, who will? My God will. Hallelujah. My God will. What does the word say? Matthew 6:33. If I will but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what will God do? He'll take care of all my needs, whatever I need. See, I don't have to spend all my time trying to defend myself. I don't have to spend all my time trying to make sure you don't take advantage of me. Why? God's got my back. God's got my back. That's what Moses knew, and that's what made him strong. Go back to Numbers chapter 12 and look at verse 11. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Now, catch this. This is Aaron talking to Moses. Now, just 5 minutes ago, he was standing up in Moses' face saying, "Who do you think you are? God speaks to us just the way he speaks to you." And now what's he saying? "Oh, my Lord, please help. Oh, my Lord, Moses." He's not even saying brother. He's saying, "Oh, my Lord, please help." Why? Because he knew where the power was. He knew where the power was. Understand this. How many of you have brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters, all right. How many of your brothers and sisters look at you and think you are somebody great? When you walk in the room, they bow down. How many of you have brothers and sisters like that? Now see, I'm an only child, but I know better than that. Amen? I mean, brothers and sisters don't look at one another that way, right? So here is Aaron bowing down to Moses. "Oh, my Lord." What's going on? He recognized where the power was. He saw the power of God operating in Moses' life. The real strength in Moses came from God. Look at verse 13 of Numbers 12. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray. Please heal her, O God, I pray." Now, understand, this is meekness in action. Follow the train of events. Moses is doing his job as the leader of the people of Israel. His brother and his sister come up, get on his case, because they don't like what he's doing. Don't like who he married. Want him to listen to them instead of doing what he believes God told him to do. How many of you have ever been a leader in some kind of organization? Leader in an organization. All right, amen. How many of you enjoy it when somebody comes up and challenges your leadership? How many of you put a smile on your face and say, "Oh, well, that's nice. I'm so glad that you came up and told me what I should be doing. I didn't know before you told me. Hallelujah." Any of you like that? Catch it. If somebody comes up and gets in your face, you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and they're telling you do something else, what do most of us do? To put it in the vernacular, don't we cop an attitude? Amen? I mean, we get an attitude right quick when somebody tells us what to do. Amen? Catch how meekness operates. Moses is the leader of God's people. God speaks to him face to face as he speaks to nobody else on earth. And his brother and his sister come up, get in his face, tell him that they are just as good before God as he is, and God strikes down his sister. And then Aaron comes and says, please, Moses, help. Now, be honest. If that happened to us, and if we were in Moses' place, how many of us would be saying, I think she got what she deserved. I told her not to mess with me. I mean, God gave her exactly what she deserved. Let her suffer a little bit. Come on, be honest. How many of us would be walking down that road? Amen. Amen. But look at how meekness operates. You see, when you are so strong that you know that nobody can really harm you, you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to defend your reputation. You don't have to try to make sure everybody respects you, respects your position, doesn't try to pull you down, because you know they can't pull you down anyway. So instead of getting an attitude and saying, let her suffer a little bit, what did Moses do? Immediately got down on his knees and called on God, Lord, heal her. Lord, take it away from her. Don't let her have to suffer as a leper for the rest of her life. You see, that's what meekness does. The one who had offended him, he was able from the depths of his heart to pray for her. How many of us have that kind of strength in our lives today? You know, when we think about strength, what do we think about? The strong person, we think about the person with the big personality, amen? The one that walks in the room, and if he speaks, everybody listens. Can't ignore him. The one who gets his own way all the time. Isn't that what we think about? The strong person? Look at what the meek person is, the person who has real strength. It's the person who can pray for the one who offended him. The person who can sincerely call upon the Lord for somebody who has done him wrong. Do we have that kind of strength today? Is that the kind of strength that's operating in our lives today? You see, that's what meekness does in the life of a believer. The meek person does not have to worry about defending himself, and so he can afford to be gentle. I remember Roosevelt Grier used to play for the L.A. Rams. You know it was a long time ago because the Rams were still in L.A. Big man, huge man, great defensive lineman. And he wrote a book that was the testimony of his life. And you know what he called it? The Gentle Giant. And you know why? Because he was such a huge, strong man, he had no fear of what anybody was going to do to him, so he could afford to be gentle. Have you noticed that? The gentlest people are the biggest people. Have you noticed that? You know the ones that want to fight you all the time? It's the one that's about 5'5". Isn't that right? You look at him wrong, and he's ready to get in your face because he thinks that you're trying to put him down. But you see, we big people, amen, we don't have any concerns about what you're going to do. I'm looking around here. I don't see anybody in the room that I don't think I could take. Come on. And so I can be gentle with you. I don't have to defend myself against you. I don't have to be always putting up walls between us to make sure you don't take advantage of me, because I know you can't hurt me. Understand this. The person who is meek not because they are weak, but they are meek because they are so strong, they don't have to worry about it. It's the person who is not afraid of what you can do to them that can afford to be gentle and kind to you. That's why blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. Let me go back to that Greek word that we looked at. You know what that word connotes? It talks about an animal, a wild animal that's been tamed, like a stallion. A stallion is an animal of great power. But once you tame that animal and put that power under control, then you've got something that you can use. Then you've got something that can make a difference. You can get on that stallion and ride, and you can have a powerful animal under you that will be controlled by your will. And that is what that word means. It means power under control. Not powerless, but powerful, but under the control of God. That's what it means to be meek. Let me show you how meekness should operate in our lives today. Go over to Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Here's what meekness looks like operating in the life of a Christian today. Somebody who does not have to always be looking out for himself because he knows, she knows, that God has her back. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Here's what the meek person looks like. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and having found and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became meek, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now that's meekness. You see, when you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, when you know that God has promised to meet every need in your life, when you know that as one who is walking with him, that he has made you the commitment that he will never let you lack for what you need, you don't have to always be concerned about myself and how I'm going to get what I need and get what I want and to get that place that I want to have, get the job I want to have, the promotion that I want to have, get the prestige I want to have. Me, I. When you know God's got you covered, you got time to look out for somebody else. Amen? You can look out for somebody else. Don't have to be worried about getting it for yourself. You see, a person who is meek is the person who is not thinking about themselves. You want a biblical definition of meekness? There it is. The person who is meek is the person who is not thinking about themselves. They know that their bases are already covered because of what God has promised in their lives. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, because God is standing by their side and will never leave them nor forsake them. Blessed are the meek, because they stand under the arms of God's protection and no one can hurt them. Blessed are the meek. They are the most powerful people in the world. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of power I want to have. That's the kind of walk I want to have. Blessed are the meek.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.